I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Catherine Ballas, one of the owners and founders of ReFit, a revolutionary fitness company that turns popular songs into fun cardio workouts. Some of their training videos have over 6 million views on YouTube, and Catherine draws back the curtain to talk about the company's humble beginnings and where it's headed. But first, it's the word on the street. When Summer Shine, owner of Luna Juice, joined me on Downtown Depot back in September of 2017, she dropped hints about a storefront soon to come. Well, that space is finally open, and last week, in the burgeoning uptown area, close to where Catherine Ballas and the ReFit team will soon be opening their doors, hundreds of people descended for the grand opening of Luna Juice Bar.
We had such an amazing time. Tons and tons of people showed up. We were really kind of surprised because we woke up that morning and it was freezing outside as opposed to the beautiful Friday that we had just had. But we feel super, super supported by our community. So many people came out and they just stayed and gathered and had a great time.
Fans of Luna Juice from their time at the Farmers Market or at the Magnolia Silos will find all their longtime favorites as well as a few additions to the brand that Summer hopes will make customers feel welcomed.
We have lots of good places for people to come sit and chill and have lunch or meet up with friends. We'll be hosting something that we're calling the Happiest Hour, which is going to be a couple of quiet hours during the day where we turn the music down low and we'll have a dollar off of smoothies so people can come and study or meditate or hang out and be quiet with their friends. It'll just be a soft, cool place for people to hang out.
They're also rolling out a new menu with all vegetarian offerings. Most of the menu's also vegan, and Summer suggests to get the delicious vegan waffles.
You can't miss us. We're at 1516 Austin Avenue. There's 10,000 pineapples on our front window. You'll see them as you drive by, and we've got lots of cool art things going on inside. So we look forward to seeing everybody.
Tonight marks the beginning of the 2018 summer concert series put on by Waco Parks and Recreation, called Brazos Nights. It's brought live music to the banks of the Brazos since 1987. Jonathan Cook coordinates the series for the city.
Well, we're excited to announce that our City of Waco's Brazos Nights concert series will be returning to Indian Spring Park. What that means is a free downtown concert featuring the swing legends Big Bad Voodoo Daddy from California and also a band, a little old school soul with the California Honey Drops.
This free all-ages series is one of the highlights in the Waco summer calendar.
The history of Brazos Nights goes back into the late 80s when the city created Indian Spring Park down at the Brazos River, and I tell you what, it's been going strong since. Really one of the longest running events that we have here in Waco, and definitely one of downtown's most popular events.
Cook said that the event is meant to not only benefit folks looking for a fun night on the town, but for all of the businesses in and around Indian Spring Park.
Free concert, great music downtown, but really it's about the community coming together. We have a lot of great lineup of food trucks. We have family fun activities from our different sponsors. And I tell you, you still just can't beat a walk across the suspension bridge at night. But it's important, you know, for a long time, Brazos Nights has been a driver to get people to downtown Waco. So we encourage people to come down, visit the restaurant, walk around, and really just soak up the vibe and everything we have going on.
I'm now joined in the studio by Catherine Ballas. Catherine is one of the boss ladies at ReFit Revolution and is sweet enough to come by the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Austin.
Tell me a little bit about your Waco history, Catherine.
Okay, well, I made the trip to Waco in 2002 for Baylor University. So I was a freshman at Baylor in 2002, graduated in 2006, and the vortex of Waco, Texas pulled me in, and I've been here ever since.
Where did you come from?
I'm originally from Houston. Okay. So,
And in 06, when you graduated, were you planning on staying in Waco? Or was it just, oh, I got an internship, I'm going to stick here, it rolls into something else?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in 2006, I was a senior at Baylor, and I was a film major, FDM, I think is what they call it now. It was telecom when I was at Baylor. Way less cool. And
it's like you're going to go install DirecTV
services.
Yeah,
I was like, what does this mean? Am I going to go work on servers for the rest of my life? So I got a job with a church doing video production part-time, and that just seemed like a great, you know, seamless connection there.
What church was that?
It was Antioch.
Okay.
And so I worked there for, I believe, 6 years and did, you know how it is, full-time work, part-time pay. that's the nature of video. And so that kind of kept me here. It was the community and the job opportunity.
So that was 06 to 12-ish?
Yes, yeah.
And what led to your transition from doing the videography for Antioch?
Sure. So in 2010, I decided it would be a good time to maybe start working out. You know, you're like mid-20s and it's like, wait, I don't play intramurals anymore. something needs to change. And so I actually remember going to a gym, a local gym in town, and just feeling really awkward and intimidated and like, I don't want to be here. I don't know what to do on this treadmill. I like got on the treadmill for 10 minutes, then was on the elliptical, then like rode, and then was like, well, was that what I was supposed to do here? You know, tried to lift some weights and looked around, and it was like, this is the worst. Like, I feel so like a fish out of water. And so I saw a group fitness class, and I was like, well, maybe that's something I could do. And the long story short there is I jumped in a group fitness class where I met Angela and Emily. And they were teaching another format at the time. And
Angela and Emily were teaching, or they were just participants in the class?
Yeah, they were teaching the class.
Oh, okay.
And so we actually met at the end of a Soul Train is how the story goes. And they were like, hey, you got to come to our classes. I was like, okay. And so I started going to their classes at Highland Baptist Church. And they'd been teaching there for a little bit. And one thing led to another. They asked me to help teach with them. And about a couple of months into it, I believe that was 2010, 2011, we really started to say, hey, what we have here is something different. We were teaching fitness classes for free all across the city, at Highland, at Antioch, at the Bellmead Civic Center. I mean, we were in, I think, 5 locations. We had over 20 classes. We were spread very thin. We were lugging speakers on our backs into venues, you know, by ourselves at 8 o'clock at night. And really, at that point, we're like, we've got something here. We've got women showing up for these classes, you know, 200 women at a time at Highland, showing up for these classes and eager and ready to work out. Like, what, you know, what can we do with this? And so we sat down, and I would say a hobby became a business over time. We sat down and said, hey, what's our vision? What's our values? Where do we want to go with this? And so that's really what led me into that transition from video to what was a hobby and what was fun into a business, was when we sat there and we said, we want to create something, not that Waco's never seen, but we want to create something out of our own need. We've experienced what it feels like to walk into a gym, or what it feels like to walk into a fitness class and not feel accepted. And we created a space where women did feel accepted, where they walked in, they felt family, they felt friendship, they felt like, gosh, I'm, you know, I've got 3 kids under the age of 3, and I don't know who I am anymore, but I can find myself here. And so that's kind of what started the process, was we were seeing women's lives being changed, and we thought, I think this could actually be something.
A lot of businesses of Refit's stature in its popularity and its reach across the country, these partners might have met at Wharton Business School in their cohort, or at a, you know, industry networking event. You guys met at a Soul Train.
Yeah.
I love the non-traditional start to how the business began. And I would imagine that sort of lack of traditional structure has informed the ethos of the way that you guys run your business. What would you say is the ethos of Refit?
Yeah. Could you tell me what ethos
means
like, to you?
So let's talk about some of those guiding principles. So you had mentioned sort of this radical inclusivity. Mm-hmm. Anybody can fit here. Mm-hmm. It seemed to me like that's the ethos. That's the brand.
Absolutely.
That's the trademark of what Refit is. Just flesh that out a little bit for me.
Yeah. So Yes, I think, like I said a minute ago, we created it out of, you know, kind of our own need or out of a need. But the voice of Refit, the brand of Refit, the heartbeat of Refit has always been, you belong here no matter what, that you are accepted no matter what. You know, one of the funny things we kind of come across is whenever I'm at HEB, I'll see a participant who hasn't been in class for a while, and the first thing out of their mouths is always like, I'm so sorry I haven't been to class. And that's the last thing on my mind. You know, I'm just happy to see them. And so that's kind of the ethos. That's kind of the heartbeat of what we do is you're in, and you're in no matter what. And whether you come to class every day or once a month or once a week or once a year, you're a part of this family, and we want you to feel that inclusivity.
How is the workout style at Refit different from other fitness offerings?
Sure. So we are a cardio group fitness experience, and we like to say movement and music because some people don't like the word dance. But I would say we are a whole lot of fun, first and foremost. You know, there is a trend in fitness right now that's like, if it's hard, it's good. Let's do that. And that's fine. That's great. That's just not our approach.
Yeah, that's weird. I've never been to a fitness class like that.
Yeah.
Such a surprise.
But you know, our approach is, hey, let's have a lot of fun and let's get this party started. And so, I would say that's kind of first and foremost. And then the workout itself, you know, like I said, it's cardio, it's group fitness. It incorporates, flexibility and toning and different elements in a class. And, you know, that really kind of hinges upon the instructor. But it's definitely an experience we feel like anybody can jump into. And I don't think most fitness experiences dictate that. Most people, oh gosh, I could never do that. And so that's what really makes us different and sets us apart.
Refit has nearly 270,000 followers on YouTube. Their workout videos to songs by Jennifer Lopez and Bruno Mars have over 6 million views. When you hear numbers like that, are you shocked a little bit about how well received your concept has been, or is this what the plan had been from the get-go?
No, that's a great question. I'm shocked at hearing them right now. So, no, it was never the plan from the get-go. You know, initially in 2010, Angela and Emily and I, we started putting up YouTube videos just to say, like, hey, here's some choreography. Hope y'all like it. Our participants like it. We just want to share this with the world. And we never thought that it would escalate to what it is now. It was never a, okay, here's our growth strategy. Let's try to get a viral video. That was never on the docket.
And that never works, by the way. Yeah. If your marketing company comes to you and says, hey, we made a viral video for your brand, throw it away.
Right.
That's not how these things work.
Yeah, exactly. Has to be organic to be viral.
For sure.
And so, yeah, I don't think that was ever the plan. You know, our plan in our heart has always been, how can we reach people and how can we get more people to play, more people to be involved? And so, you know, as we've grown up into a business, we have to be a little bit more strategic about those things. But from the get-go, no, I would definitely say when we posted those first videos on YouTube, it was just, well, hope you like it. And out of that need and out of that space, really, that's when the business formed, as people started emailing and reaching out to us and saying, gosh, I love these videos. I want to teach this. And we were like, oh, let's make an instructor program. And so that was 2013, we started licensing instructors to teach, and now we have thousands of Refit instructors around the country that carry the brand and the vision and the heart further than we could have ever imagined.
That's stunning. Literally thousands of instructors who have taken what Catherine Ballas and Angela Beeler and Emily Field have created here in Waco, and you're spreading that to create wellness all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
What's the hardest thing to translate to a Refit instructor who wants to be serving her community in Duluth, Minnesota?
Yeah. Well, we have instructors in Owatonna, Minnesota, so not too far off. It's literally zero there right now.
Are the principles directly applicable? What happens here in Waco is going to happen in California or in Nebraska?
Absolutely. And so we build one of the difference differences in our training module is that we really build off of values. We have these five core principles or five core values that we believe anyone can jump in on, no matter your socioeconomic background, your race, your social status, your religious beliefs, whatever it is. These five values transcend, and these five values are kind of the common ground. And so that's what we all stand on. I would say a difficulty oftentimes for us is, as an instructor, I'll put myself in the instructor's shoes, is overcoming yourself and your own insecurities and your own, like, I always say this, but I can't remember what happened 15 minutes ago, let alone how to memorize 15 songs and be in front of people and put yourself out there. And so, again, a unique thing about our community is we're in this together. We don't have it figured out. We're not the person on stage that's like, I look great and I got it all sorted out and hope you can get here. You know, we're we're messing up in front of people. And honestly, that's the thing our participants say they love about the most. They're like, we love it when you mess up. Like, okay. So, yeah, I think there's something about being in it together versus talking at people, but talking with people.
You're hearing from Catherine Ballas, one of the owners and founders of ReFit Revolution, a dance-based workout regimen, and now it's become an empire all across the United States. What makes a good song for a ReFit video? Like, what are the elements that
hey,
you hear?
Austin, you tell me what makes a good song for a ReFit video.
I mean, I'm looking through some of these top tracks. You have what we mentioned before, Bruno Mars and Jennifer Lopez, Katy Perry, NSYNC as a millennial, some of my favorites. But what do you look for in these songs, and how do you source music for these videos?
Yeah, so New Music Friday on Spotify is my best friend.
Okay.
Anything that's trending. So one of the things that I would say differentiates us is that our music is family friendly. It's something that your 14-year-old or your 44-year-old or 84-year-old could jump in and be a part of. And so we are very aggressive about making sure that our music is something that is value positive. There's a lot of negative noise out there. And so that's the first thing. It's got to be value positive. It's got to be something that's people, you know, they just want to have fun. They just want to say, you know, this is, I want to feel like Beyonce in this song. And then depending on the instructor, I think, in their style. You know, for me, like, I like more hip hop, and so I'm gonna err on that side. Angela's more dancey, and I always say Emily's like fitness gal. Like, she can do anything, and you're like, wow, that looked amazing. We always joke, Emily's the best ReFit instructor. Like, she is incredible. So, yeah, I think anything that's trending, anything that's cool, and then anything that has that positive vibe, we really want to be intentional about putting that out there.
What you were mentioning just before that question about the fans of ReFit, they love when they see you mess up. They love mm-hmm. seeing some of that reality, especially in something that is so hard and potentially alienating as working out. Not that everything relates back to Chip and Joanna, but that is one of the common things that I hear about Chip and Joanna mm-hmm. as well, is that people love seeing the interdimensional play between Chip and Joe mm-hmm. and maybe the little fight that they had on screen. Mm-hmm. But it brings a humanity. It really establishes and grounds what they're doing. And it seems like that has been really useful for you guys as well.
Yeah. I mean, we're not – the second we start trying to fabricate something is probably the second we would all be like, we don't want to do this anymore. That's work. You know, I think our authenticity with our community has created – the result of authenticity is vulnerability. When you're authentic with someone, they can be vulnerable and authentic with you in return. And we would never want to forsake that as a business, as a brand, as, quote, the face of the brand. It's something that we really do have to put at the forefront of who we are. Otherwise, we're going to lose the heartbeat of the deal.
Sure.
At that point.
Well, and it goes to the basic communication principle of levels of disclosure. So if I disclose to you that my dad died when I was 5, you're much more likely to disclose to me that you had a relative who died early on too.
Sure.
And if I had never mentioned that, you probably would have never brought that forward. So in the context of a ReFit workout, if I'm up on stage telling you, guys, this is killing me, I am cramping up, this is so hard, everyone else in the class feels that much more comfortable to be honest and open about where they are So maybe they need to recalibrate their starting point, or they know this is the thing I need to work on. But if you weren't radically honest in the beginning, they would have never had that realization.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You guys have been on Richland Drive for a while since your incipients, and you are moving on to a project on Washington Avenue.
We are. Austin, let me just say real quick, I'm surprised by your vocabulary. You have very nice word choice.
Thank you. I appreciate
yes.
that.
We are moving from Richland to Washington. So we've been on Richland Drive for 6 years.
Wow.
Believe it or not, we had our 6-year anniversary in March, and I was like, where did time go? Okay. So, yeah, we're making a big jump to have our headquarters and our studio in one location. So right now we office downtown, and then we have our studio in Richland, and we are going to have everything in a 11,000 square foot location. And golly, I'm so excited, and I'll be honest, I'm so scared all at the same time. And it's going to be really rad to have a space where people, it can be a home away from home for people.
So what freedom does having the one location give you guys as a business?
Yeah, so practically, we were talking about this the other day. Practically, it's like, here I am at my computer. Hey, I got to go teach class. I'll be right back. Like, literally walk next door, like walk in the other room to teach class. But as far as from a business standpoint, we are going to have a retail space in the front, which is going to be super rad, and then a community space as well. One of the kind of issues is we do have this heart for connection and community, but we don't have a space to create it. And that's frustrating for us. So kind of the lobby waiting area is going to be a community hub for people where they can hang out before or after class. And then we're going to have these locker rooms. Are you a Buc-ee's fan?
I am a Buc-ee's
okay,
fan.
Okay. Why? Because of the bathrooms?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Clean restrooms,
yes.
Really yummy prepared foods.
Exactly. And so we wanted to create a locker room experience kind of like that for our women and our men that, you know, they would walk in and be like, wait, I love this. Like, and then we're having a 3,500 square foot studio space. So we're doubling our studio size. So more people, more party, more fun. Then we'll have our headquarters and offices there in the same location in the back, a production area where we will do all of our video and film and have all of our shipping and different things for our retail side of things. So from a business standpoint, logistically, to be able to bring people home and say to our instructors around the country, we have a home for you. For our participants here in Waco, we have a home for you. That's what really excites us the most.
Well, and it's not just refit. You guys are kind of getting into development a little bit,
yeah.
Where you recognize, hey, like people want to come and get their grind on, but there are also other elements of the health and fitness mindset that we can bring together, and they can all help each other.
Yeah. So we're really excited about our neighbors. We've got Sodality, which is a yoga bar, and they're going to have yoga, facials, Reiki therapy, acupuncture, all sorts of health and wellness in there, which is awesome. And then we're going to have the Lighthouse, which is a coffee wine offering. And then on the other side is Happy Harvest. Toby, David, and Juanita are going to bring Happy Harvest and Barabucha. And so I don't know if you've experienced this in traveling. I think you're from Austin, or you were in Austin for a little bit. So you've probably experienced this really in any major city. And we have too. When you go to, let's say, for example, like an Equinox gym, and you walk out and there's the smoothie shop next door. And then for me, there's the Sephora next to that. And then there's the Nike. And then there, and you don't even realize it, but you're on this block and you have this experience and you don't want to leave. And I think Waco could be better served if we had more experiences like that. For me, I find myself going to one location and leaving, like going to get my thing and then leaving. I don't really stay and linger. And so we wanted to create a space where people want to linger longer, where they do want to go grab a coffee before class and grab some wine after.
I think that's so smart. And what you're referencing is, I mean, that's an important part of city planning in larger, more densely populated cities. But when you look at downtown Waco, it's sort of like this beautiful smile with a bunch of teeth missing, because you have a really great block here, and then there is an open parking lot, and then some more cool retail. So the more that you can, as the developer, proactively bring those people together, put them all on one tooth, that's going to create, like you said, this is going to create a third place where people can feasibly come here in the morning for the workout. You stay all the way through lunch. You're here in the mm-hmm. afternoon working, hanging out, and do a workout and then get home.
So what I hear you saying is that you are going to be there starting at 9 a.m. and you're not going to leave till 5. You're going to be in our studio.
Hey, keep on playing Kendrick Lamar and Bruno Mars and I can come. Okay. I can get my grind on. Awesome. I'll surprise you. I'm a surprisingly live guy.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that as part of this larger space that you will have dedicated podcast space for Birdie and Beezy.
So, yeah, great question. Birdie and Beezy is our little personal side hustle that Angela and I are working on. And we're excited to continue the conversation. The heart behind that is just we want to have a conversation again with people and about different things that we talk about over the dinner table with friends. We just want to pull people into that. And so, yeah, we recorded our first one as an Enneagram 1. I was very hard on myself. Like, what was that? But it'll be a lot of fun. And I think it'll help, again, that authenticity, help people see who we are a little bit more. As the business has grown, it's harder to, like, let people know who you are without sounding like you're tooting your own horn, which is my, like, death language. Like, it's not my love language. It is my death language. But it's harder to kind of have that voice to people as you grow. And we still want to feel connected with people in that way.
I'll get you out of here on this, Catherine. Now moving on to Washington Avenue, Refit and Lighthouse Coffee and Wine, the yoga bar, are right in the middle of this conversation that's happening on Washington and on Franklin Avenues about potentially reverting these one-way streets into two-way streets. Mm-hmm. How do you as a business owner feel about that conversation?
Let's do it. I mean, why not? You know, I'll be honest. I know zero about city planning. So there's a part of me that's like, hey, if that's what the city thinks is best to do it, let's do it. I mean, it makes sense. Why not? You know, for us, for flow of traffic, it would get people to our building way easier. And I think as a resident of downtown, I would personally appreciate it as well, so that I don't see headlights down the one ways like I've been seeing over the past couple of years. But I think it makes sense, you know, to make that a reality.
Catherine Ballas, owner, founder, boss lady at Refit Revolution. Thank you so much for coming on Downtown Depot.
Thank you, Austin.
Thanks again to Catherine Ballas, Summer Shine, and Jonathan Cook of the City of Waco. And be sure to go check out Jonathan and the rest of his team at Brazos Nights tonight at Indian Spring Park. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and if you want to stay up to date in between episodes, be sure you're following Waco Business News on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'll be back on KWBU on Friday, May 4th, for our next installment of Downtown Depot, and I'm also bringing a new small business spotlight, highlighting a cool business outside of downtown Waco that you might not be familiar with. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.